It's a great point in the life of any of us, not just young people, but any of us here, when we recognize we are the Lord's. We belong to Him. And He will deal with us. He will work with us when we get away from Him to bring us back. It's not because of anything else, but the fact that He loves us. He disciplines. Now that word has grown to mean with many a spanking. But I don't think that it means that. I always believed with my kids that the spanking was the evidence that discipline had not worked. There were lots of things that came before we had to use a stick or a spoon or some of the things that were used in our house when the kids were little. But God disciplines His children. And that's what I'm seeing in this first verse. We look at that. It says, the Lord delivered them. And we think, well, that has a good connotation. The Lord is going to take care of the problem. The Lord, well, He's going to. He's just not going to do it in the way that they were expecting. And it's often that way with you and I. I'm saying, Lord, come in and remove these terrible consequences that have come from the fact that I have not obeyed Your word. And the Lord says, well, Chuck, I'm going to do something. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to make you face the reason for the consequences that have come in. Or I don't learn anything. If I just do the same thing over and over and over again, I'm really not learning anything. And so it says, as Tony has told us, the Lord delivered them, but instead of meaning taking the difficulties away, He delivered them into the hand of Midian. Midian was their enemy, wasn't he? He delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds, made them the dens. Can you imagine that? It's difficult to conceive that those that were so victorious in the book of Joshua are now in the dens and the caves of the earth. What an awful thing. This is properly labeled, I think, the consequences of sin.
Chuck, you mentioned last evening about the government of God, and I wonder, because this is where we're going now, I wonder if we could develop that a little bit more, as to explaining what is the government of God and how does the government of God work?
I'm listening, Dave. You're off on a good path there. I'll help you.
No, I'm waiting. Emma will pick it up.
It's called pass the buck.
Yeah. Can we sum it up maybe by just saying, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You want to say that one more time, David?
I was saying, could we maybe just sum it up in a small phrase? I'm sure it doesn't capture everything. But whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. And it was mentioned yesterday, I think you mentioned to Chuck, Brother Chuck, that God is faithful to, God is faithful. He's always faithful. He remains faithful, ever. Whether it's faithful in blessing, when blessing is due, even though we're not worthy of it, and God is faithful to chastise when that's due as well. So He's faithful. And I think we know from the scriptures that it says He chastens those whom He loves. So chastening is a measure of His love for us. So so we can receive that from the Lord. And I think, not to divert too much from the government, but I'm just reading this first verse. We know the thing that strikes me is there's really no spiritual progress here at all. We know from the first couple chapters it was almost like a circle. The pattern was they would do evil on the sight of the Lord, and the Lord would send in an enemy to come in and give them a difficult time for, as we heard last night, for varying periods of time. It got greater and greater as we went along. And then they would cry out to the Lord, and He in His faithfulness would send a deliverer. And then it says they would do evil in the sight of the Lord even more than their fathers did. And then they would cry out to the Lord again. And the pattern continued and continued. And I think so often in my life, and I'm sure you would agree, that we can't make progress if we're just going around in a circle, So may the Lord just help us to, even as we take up this portion this morning, to see a man who actually did stand up and make progress. And he stood up for the whole nation, and there was progress made in comparison to the many the generations that came before him.
There's no doubt that the government of God is inevitable. It will always come in. Let's never for a moment think that whatever I do, that there will never be a consequence handed out to my behavior. So for us as young people, we may think that, you know, I can get away with this or I can get away with that. I can do this. It's not going to have too much of an impact. But yes, it certainly does. It has an impact upon us, and then God has to intervene with his government. And there's the twofold aspect of deliverance here, I think, in verse 1. You talked about delivering them into the hand of Midian. But then there is also God interposing himself and delivering us from the thing that has had its impact upon us. Because ultimately, as you get, as David was just saying, as you get in the book of Judges, there is always God delivering into the hand for disciplinary and consequential purposes, but then there's also God delivering for the purpose of bringing them back into his place of blessing. So let's be assured that when he comes in judgment, he doesn't just leave us there. He comes along to deliver us so that we might be brought back to a place of blessing.
It's always with a view, isn't it, of restoration. It's with the view of bringing us back. You see, we were duped by the enemy. That's what happened at the end in these verses that Tony has read. The enemy has come in, and he has said to the children of Israel, and he says today, no authority is the best way. No authority means you do what you want to do. And he doesn't tell you that that has horrible consequences in the lives of Christians, to set aside the lordship of Christ and to do my own will. Well, we find that, and I like what you've said, it's twofold. The first part of it, we generally like to get out of it pretty quickly. Lord, I've done wrong, and please take these difficulties away. Lord, I haven't done what I should have, but would you please come in and just remove these terrible problems, because I want to get back where I know I should be. Let us just say one other thing about sin. Some of the consequences are lifelong. Let us remember that. I want to look beyond Midian, and I want to see that the enemy is at work. And as he was out to destroy Israel, he is busy today to destroy the lives of every person in this room. And so he has many things that he sets before young people. And we sadly know some young people that have gotten involved with things, with drugs, with alcohol, and with really immoral lifestyles. And they have later been recovered spiritually. But young people, the scars remain for a lifetime. We're going to see what the enemy is out to do. We want to realize that this is the enemy that is against us. If I don't realize there's an enemy, I'm never going to take the safeguard of reading the Word, of submitting to Christ, of submitting to His will joyfully, until I realize that there is an enemy, and his purpose is to do you and I in. I just would emphasize again, they made them the dens which are in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of East. They came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase. What a lesson for us. Go ahead, Kevin.
Do you think it would be helpful to say as well that you said that the enemy is going to destroy us? The safeguard for us, thinking of Matthew 11, the Lord said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And we, as you said, we want to throw off the yoke. But that's really the safeguard. It's under the yoke of the Lord, that he would control us. That we still have that in us that needs to be yoked. It needs to be controlled.
Yeah.
And so we need to submit to his yoke.
How many of you think that it would have been a good idea, as you were 5 and 6 years old and 4, for your mothers and fathers to have said, that's okay, son, daughter, you do whatever you want to do. Just do whatever you want to do. That's okay, we don't care. Just do whatever you want to do. You smile today, but I believe that everyone in this room realizes the effects upon your life would have been disastrous for a parent to have said that to you. We love our parents because they put parameters, and you many here, 15, 16, 17, those parameters are still there, aren't they? And we should be very thankful for parents that love us enough to put the lines, to draw the areas wherein we are able to maneuver within the family and so on. They do it because they love you. We have to stress that, don't we?
So I want to look at Midian as, we have heard already, an enemy. But he is a very subtle enemy. Now, if you look at the origin of Midian, if you just mark your Bible in Genesis 25, you know where Midian came from. It's actually the descendant of Abraham. Okay, so you would say to yourself, well, you know, he's not really bad after all. He is related to the children of Israel, you know. We all have people that are either related to us or friends of us that, you know, they're not really that bad at all. After all, they're all Christians. Or what they ask us to do is all legitimate things. See, I want to look at Midian as not the flesh, not the devil, not the world. I want to look at Midian as the legitimate things, the earthly things that, you know, going to school, having a job, getting married, eating, playing sports, all of these things are legitimate things. There's nothing wrong with them in themselves. But now, for 7 years, these things are completely taking over your life. They're completely taking over your life. There is no time for God. Because you are very busy. You have to finish school. You have to work. It's 24 hours. What do you want to do? I mean, I have to work. So I got to work and I got to go to school. Don't ask me to go to meeting because I can't really do it. And don't ask me to read my Bible, please, because, you know, I really don't have no time. I have paper to finish for school. I have a lot of things to do. That's the Midian. Midian means conflict. He's trying to take that of your life. Now, what is the result of that? When these things that seems, I'm not talking about doing evil things here at all. Just doing things that you have to do, but no time for God. Remember the city of Cain, the first city that was built? They have everything in there except God. They have an instrument, they have harpies, they have songs, they have everything man could think of. Well, nothing wrong with these things. But there was no God in there. And here, Midian came, and for 7 years, they just kind of railroad these people. They just reddened them, and they had them really working very hard, planting, but no fruit for God. They come and they take everything. You remember when you get saved, many of you? You were on fire for the Lord. Nothing would stop you from reading your Bible, or going to the meeting, or telling somebody about the Lord. You know what happened here? They were hiding in the caves. You know what does that mean? No testimony at all. Your light is not shining anymore. Your light is under a bushel. Nobody knows if you are a Christian or not anymore. When the earthly things taking over your life, nobody knows who you are. No testimony for God. Not only that, they work very hard, and the Midianite and their cousins, they come and they take over everything. And they are like the grasshopper, eats everything green. This land, the blessings in the heavenly places, they are not enjoying them because the Midianites are taking over. No testimony for God, no fruit for God. What a horrible and a miserable life. That's what these people are doing. Think of yourself. Is that where you are? Is that where you are? Your life has been taken completely by so-called earthly, legitimate things, that there is no time for God. And you have no